It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You have a line to State Representative Sheila Stubbs of Madison. She is co-chair of a new task force in the Assembly to address racial disparities and police policies and standards following the police shooting of Jacob Blake last month. Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke was tapped to lead this task force as well. We spoke with him on Labor Day.
Let's be clear that the task force is going to have less legislators and more people from communities of color throughout the state working with law enforcement to come up with these solutions.
What would you like to see state lawmakers do to address racial disparities and police brutality? What laws, reforms, or initiatives do you support? We're at 800-642-1234. Representative Sheila Stubbs is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 77th Assembly District in Madison. Representative Stubbs, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Welcome back. Thank you, Kate. I'm excited to get this honorable opportunity to speak with you again.
Well, Representative, why did you decide to co-chair this task force?
Thank you so much for such a great question. Well, I'm excited to be the co-chair of the Task Force on Racial Disparities, and I'm excited to be able to work with my fellow lawmakers, especially Representative Steinke, who is the other co-chair, and community leaders, to truly address the many racial disparities in the state of Wisconsin. I'm very grateful that Representative Voss, our Speaker Voss, actually appointed me to this task force. And let's be clear, it is time that we really stand up and address the inequities that exist across the state of Wisconsin. We know, in fact, Wisconsin is the absolute worst state to raise a black family, and that is shameful, that is unacceptable, and we must go to work. We know that 7% of Wisconsin population is black, but account for 44% of black people in prison. The four-year graduation rate is almost 25% lower for black high school students compared to their white counterparts. It is unacceptable. And I've heard, as I've gone throughout the state and I've done the marches and I've done the peaceful protests, that people want less talk and more action. And that's why I'm excited to sit at the table in leadership and get something done.
So, as you've said, the state is in crisis. The task force was announced a few weeks ago. What progress has your group made?
Well, thank you. Actually, from the moment that Representative Steinke and I actually met together and talked at the press conferences, we began to start getting just a large number of people who have applied to be on the task force. I know for sure that he and I have worked on some of the logistics. We've talked about, you know, when are we going to actually do our first meeting? Who's going to be on this task force? We spent time. I mean, I've had so many people call me personally and through the cell phone and at the office to check and see what can be done. We certainly made sure that people could send their letters of resume and letters of interest to our task force. We knew that nominations were accepted until Friday, last week, September 18th. We do know the size and makeup of this task force is going to be between 15 and 20 people, between 4 to 5 legislators, between 15 community leaders, organizers, faith-based groups, and not-for-profits. Our timeline, our first meeting should be about the second or third week in October, and the plan is to have the legislation for the criminal justice drafted and ready for introduction at the start of the session, which would also include the previous legislation. So we are getting started. We are going through a lot of the applications. We're starting that this week. Representative Steinke and I, and I've been told that there is a lot of interest. I believe that because people have written my office. And so hopefully within the next couple of weeks, there will be an announcement of who's actually going to be on the task force.
So, Representative, is this task force really focused on putting together legislative package? Is it focused on the bills in particular? Because Governor Evers, he called a special session 5 weeks ago and put forth 9 bills way back in June following George Floyd's death. What is this task force going to be doing?
Absolutely. Well, one of the main goals of the task force is to address and to recognize racism as what it is. Racism is a public health crisis that is only worsening under COVID-19 and the civil unrest following the murder of George Floyd and the shooting of Jacob Blake. It is time for elected officials in this country to get to work and pass comprehensive reforms. All eyes are on Wisconsin legislation. It is our duty to come to the table. I hope that the task force represents a new era of bipartisanship and reform. We owe this to our community, especially communities of color in Wisconsin that have been marginalized and systematically oppressed for far too long. We must commit to implementing solutions that they need. The governor has done so much. Governor Evers and Lieutenant Governor Barnes certainly introduced 9 bills that the Wisconsin Legislative Black Caucus agreed to. And let me share this with you. I'm honored to say one of those bills is a bill that I co-author, which is the unnecessarily summoning of a police officer, which dealt with my 2018 incident for racial profiling. I am glad that that's before us. But let me be very clear. We are under the Republican leadership. We cannot pass these bills without the Republicans coming to the table. And so I am calling out leadership to bring these bills to a debate and to vote. We must do that. And that's why I'm going to push as much as I can within these next couple of months to make sure we look at those 9 bills that Governor Evers has introduced, national best practices throughout the country, other bills that have been introduced in the state capitol that never moved out of committee or never was placed in committee. Take all these different bills, look at them, draft the best reform, and let me be clear, there's going to be compromise at the table. There's going to be negotiations at the table. But we must walk out of that room with consensus to put forth the best legislation that we can to address police brutality, to address health inequities, to address education, to address the well-being of someone. So I look at this as a framework to begin to address the inequities, and we must pass the bill that creates the Office of Equity and Inclusion that I authored with Senator Taylor, because that is the real work that needs to be done across the state of Wisconsin.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Representative Sheila Stubbs, who is leading a bipartisan task force to look at Wisconsin's racial disparities. What actions would close the racial wealth gap? How do we improve educational outcomes? What do you want to see out of this task force? Share your experience, your insights, 800-642-1234. Representative Stubbs, some protesters have asked for police funding to be reduced. Your Republican colleagues have proposed legislation that would penalize local governments for doing this. Is there some common ground on how to address policing and police budgets?
You know, what I'm really excited to say about this is that, you know, in the Capitol, Republicans and Democrats, we couldn't get it together. We couldn't come to a consensus. And so now it's going to take the outside influencers to come into the Capitol, sit at the table, and then tell us what needs to be done. And it is time for us as lawmakers to listen to our community, those that represent us. I am hopeful that we will come to some consensus because we have more outsiders, more faith-based and not-for-profit organizers coming into that space, even those that have protested. Grassroots organizers into this space and less elected officials. And so I think because we're getting to the table and we are really going to address the crucial issues that need to be addressed that have never happened before. And so I think that we are going to get there. I think that it is time that lawmakers listen to our community and that our community drive the outcomes of these bills. And I truly believe that we will truly address inequities. You know, I hear people say defund. I hear people say divest. I've heard the word reinvest. I've heard the word re-envision. At the end of the day, law enforcement cannot continue in the capacity that they are. We've got to come together. At the end of the day, if I'm out in the community, I want to return back home. I truly believe law enforcement want to return back home. But we've got to get to the table and find our consensus.
Let's take a call now. Troy is joining us from Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. I know I received my education probably, you know, about 15 years ago from the UW system. And it was interesting because I had to take a lot of Native American, background, history type classes for diversity and that. but there was nothing for African Americans. I really do believe whether you're going to school for like a formal degree, or you're going to like for a trade, or even just owning a business in the state of Wisconsin, you definitely should have to take some kind of something that explains systemic racism in Milwaukee, and know the history. I think that's where a lot of this stuff comes from, is a lot of misinformation that people get from growing up in a very segregated city.
Troy, thank you for the call. Representative Stubbs, what do you see on education here?
Great. I think first and foremost, the caller is absolutely right. First and foremost, we're going to spend a significant amount of time educating those in the room, educating ourselves. And what I really like about this makeup is you cannot fully address what's happening to a sector of people if they're not in the room, if they're missing from the table. And so to have basically that group comprised of the task force comprised of people of color, from the Latina to the Native American to the Black, that are in the room talking about themselves. For one, we are experts at what we do. I know about racial disparities. I know about being profiled. And I can bring that experience to that room. That's a lived experience. I am a victim of it. And what we're going to do is train people who don't know about it. And that's why we need that Office of Equity and Inclusion, so we can actually begin to address the perceptions and address the biases and begin to tell people, yeah, you have unconscious bias. And we begin to talk about the necessary trainings that we need people to learn about the history. Because if you don't know the history, you are doomed to repeat it. That's why this task force is going to be so critical, because we're going to educate law enforcement. I forgot to share that that's a part of the makeup of the task force, public health. People that may have never really understood why a person of color have this fear of what happens, why we are treated differently. So sitting at the table for the first time, listen to someone who has experienced that, is going to definitely bring some change in that space.
State Representative Sheila Stubbs is with us. We will be back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Representative Sheila Stubbs. She's a Democrat from Madison who's co-chairing this new Speaker's Task Force on Racial Disparities, Educational Opportunities, Public Safety, and Police Policies and Standards. And meanwhile, at the beginning of this month, the largest police union in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, it unveiled a set of 24 legislative proposals tied to police reform. And the union hopes lawmakers will take up the package. Representative, looking at the proposal from the association, 24 proposals put out by the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. What will the task force do with this?
Great. So what the task force will be doing is looking at any proposals that have been introduced. The Wisconsin Professional Police Association bills, the 9 common sense bills that Governor Evers, Lieutenant Governor Barnes, and the Democrats put forward, which should have passed. But reality is that did not happen. Any bills that any other legislators have introduced in the state capitol, and look at national best practices across the United States and come to the table, look at each of those bills, find where we can agree, and where we can agree, we'll move forward and put together a list of bills. And like I said, our goal would be to introduce it at the beginning of our session in January or February and try and get those bills passed first as a consensus across the state. But it's really important that any bills that are out there that's impacting police brutality or no-knock warrants, for an example, or profiling, let's sit down and let's look at them and let's make sure that we can come up with what best represents our community, law enforcement, public health, not-for-profits, grassroots, faith-based, and then that will be the bills that we put forward.
Let's bring in Isaac now, who's joining us from McFarland. Hi, Isaac. What would you like to add?
I have a comment. We give police a lot of power, and even power to kill in some cases. But there's very little accountability and transparency that goes with that power. So the laws that govern the, how police us need to change. So who is policing the police? For example, we have conceal and carry laws Republicans champion that. They like it. But, for example, if you face a police officer and you announce that you have a weapon with you, in some cases you get killed.
Isaac, I want to pause. I want to pause there and allow Representative Stubbs to address that. You know, Isaac asks, "Who is policing the police?" Isaac is seeking more transparency and accountability.
Absolutely, and I think that's a real candid conversation that would be a natural conversation with this task force, because you're going to have grassroots organized. You're going to have victims. You're going to have faith-based where people with lived experience with law enforcement is going to say, you know, we don't trust you. How do we build trust? If people don't trust you, it doesn't matter what you put together, it's going to fail. So what we have to do is begin to build trust in that space with those major organizers in that room. I think number two is one of our bills that will look at the standard law enforcement standard boards and look and see about transparency. I agree with you 100%, Isaac. Transparency must be there. We must hold people accountable. They need to actually follow the law. And I do believe right now that people see that, you know, law enforcement is at a place where people don't trust. And trust is something that can be broken. And we are in a pivotal time in our country that we have to go back to the table and find our common ground. And that's why I think this task force is so critical at this pivotal moment, that we will come in that room, put our politics to the side, and go to work for the people across the state of Wisconsin.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Sheila Stubbs, who represents District 77 in the State Assembly, talking about the new task force addressing racial disparities. What would you like to share with a state lawmaker? What would you like to see lawmakers do to address police brutality, racial disparities, inequities in financial aspects? 800-642-1234. I want to circle back to something you said at the top, in that the median annual income of a Black family here in Wisconsin is less than half of a white family in Wisconsin. How would you like the task force to look at systemic financial inequities?
Great. First of all, we have to look at our systems. We have to look at our practices. We have to look at policies. We must begin to build wealth, Black wealth, in the community. For example, in South Madison, the Urban League of Greater Madison thinks the County Executive Parisi and the County Board just put $2 million to building the Sherman Phoenix model that's in Milwaukee into Madison to focus on Black-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, a micro-business concept, and began to give people that helping hand, because no one wants to just go and get something for free. But we want to meet people where they are. We want to begin to look at banks, make sure that the loaning process is more equitable. And that's the only way we're going to get there. We have to be creative in our thinking. We have to look at innovation. And it's okay to duplicate a model somewhere else in the country that is working. And then, like I said, be creative about your own space and make sure that happens. And so this committee will have some of, you know, some of the people from the banking industry, or, you know, they could be with other experts in that room. And that's the other part of that task force I forgot to illuminate, to share about, is making sure that we talk about other experts that might be invited into that space to help us with those really difficult conversations.
You know, sometimes people hear task force and they roll their eyes and say, another task force, that means nothing's going to happen. Is this different this time, do you think, Representative Stubbs?
Absolutely. I am very optimistic. You know, I wake up every morning, I set an agenda. I don't always get things done the way that I want to, but I'm hopeful. Long as I have hope, I can get through the day. I would not waste my time to do something that was not meaningful. I am taking a very serious step to sit at that table in leadership and move forward the agenda. Let me be very clear. Of the 9 bills that included banning police chokeholds, no-knock warrants, requiring police to announce themselves before executing on search warrants, increased transparency and officer-involved shooting, other incidences, and the racial profiling by proxy, were just some of the bills, but those were common-sense bills. And for some reason, my Republican colleagues did not want to pass those bills did not want to have a debate. Well, now I have been a big critic of them. And when they ask me to come to the table, I'm going to come to the table because my beliefs, my values, and as a victim of profiling and as a Democrat and as someone who represents, you know, one of the 99 reps across the state of Wisconsin, my voice is critical. I will bring the community voice, and I am hopeful that we will come to a consensus in that space and walk out with some bills that need to become law across the state. I don't want to see another Jacob Blake. I don't want to meet a Breonna Taylor. I don't. There are cases across the state right now that we haven't even heard of or can be taking place. We don't want any more victims. We don't want any more peaceful protesters killed. So we must go to work across the state of Wisconsin. And I know me sitting at that table, something will be done. And I agree. I've heard people say, we don't want any more task force. We don't want any more commissions and committees. We demand action. This is the only next step that we have at the state capitol. That's why I'm invested. It is the only next step. Governor Evers couldn't do it with Lieutenant Governor Barnes. The Democrats can do it. The only way we're going to get something done is to sit at the table with Republicans, and I'm honored to sit at that table and to get something done for every Wisconsinite across the state of Wisconsin.
And we only have a few seconds left, but I want to ask you about extending the statewide mask mandate. Do you support the strategy to address COVID-19, which is just exploding in numbers here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. I stood and supported the mandatory masking at Dane County. I'm also a Dane County Board Supervisor, so I did that with Executive Parisi. I've joined Governor Evers, and we've got to get control of COVID-19. And let's be very clear. Black and brown people are really dying quicker at COVID than other people. And this pandemic is killing so many people across our country and in our state. So whatever we can do to slow it down, we need to do it.
Representative Stubbs, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. I look forward to seeing you and hearing you again. And thank you again.
Thanks.
Opportunity.
Sheila Stubbs represents District 77 in the State Assembly. Just ahead, we discuss eye health with an ophthalmologist. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.